The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
You're on a special edition of the John Fredericks Radio Network. It is great to have you with us today. And on the line with us is James Bennett. James is with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, Radio National. Hi, James. Welcome.
Hi, John. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me as well, because I think you can help me understand part of what's happening in America, a project that I'm working on at the moment.
Great.
So, John, I came to Virginia essentially wanting to know what the state felt with the last couple of years of Donald Trump in office and find out what people are thinking and how voters judge him, if he is the main issue at these midterm elections, and also what it means for the way that politicians go about speaking to an electorate after a campaign in 2016 that changed so much about American politics. And so I was really interested to speak with you and find out, get a sense of how your audience sees those things and I guess your prognostications for Virginia as well.
Okay, well, there's two issues, James. One is Virginia and one is national. So the Trump policies, the Trump America First policies in his administration are not been conducive to Republicans get elected statewide in Virginia. And one of the reasons for that is the growing number of federal employees that live in Virginia and work in Washington, D.C. for the federal government. The Trump administration is not seen by federal workers as friendly to them. As you know, he's just asked for a 5% across the board reduction in all agencies, which means jobs. He also called for a pay freeze for federal workers because of the debt that we have. So Virginia is an anomaly, and the tremendous numbers of people living in Northern Virginia that are not Trump supporters basically dominate the state. And so that's why it has gone Democratic. And so the Northern Virginia area, it really makes it tough for Trump's Republican Party to win statewide. Now, in other parts of the state of Virginia, they are doing fine. Southwest Virginia, Southern Virginia, the Shore area, they all have Republicans elected there, and we expect all of them to get reelected, James. Nationally, it's very different. Nationally, it is very different. And what this president has done in these midterms, which is very different from status quo, when you know he is the great disruptor, as he's barnstormed the country and he's made this midterm election a referendum on his administration, on his America First policies, on the Trump economy, on trade, and on the success that he's had. And basically, he said, if you want jobs, you vote for me. If you want a country, you vote for me. If you want mobs and caravans, you vote for them. And so he has really made this a simple choice. And he's gone in the states where many races are tied. And right now, 12 days out, what looked like 3 months ago, almost certain the Democrats would take control of the House. It is now tied. That's up for grabs. I put it at 50-50. 3 months ago, it was like 85-15. Everybody thought the Republicans would win control, and some people actually thought they had a chance to win the United States Senate. That's not happening either. Republicans are going to gain big there. The tide, with 12 days, is starting to turn Trump's way, James.
So I'm really interested, John, to know, to understand those differences that you spoke about in Virginia and what a diverse state that it is. Mm-hmm. Because one of the races that I've found particularly interesting in assessing like what you're talking about there, Donald Trump making these midterms about himself is how much this represents a really important moment, a sense, for the Republican Party in determining its direction, because following some of the congressional races, particularly the 5th, and speaking to Denver Riggleman, and he's running on a low taxation, small government platform that's quite traditional Republican and doesn't mention the president much at all. So how does that work? Are they one and the same, what Donald Trump's talking about and small sort of small-L liberal campaigns, so to speak, of more traditional Republican appeals?
Well, the big difference with the Trump America First agenda is not on limited government or cutting taxes. I think you look at the tax cut the president delivered on, that has fueled the economy. He's also in favor of deregulating the economy, which I'm sure Denver Riggleman is in favor of as well. So the deregulations, the tax cut, and getting rid of a lot of the red tape has been the reason that the economy has gone so well. So I don't think there's a difference with Denver. Now, in the 5th district race, this is a Republican district. Denver Riggleman is going to win that race handily. And so what you're looking at now, saying it's close, is you're looking at a New York Times poll and other polling. And here's what you've got going on right now in the legacy media in the United States. You have fake polls. These are fake polls. They're not real. They're not done to depict the facts as they stand when the poll was taken. These are fake polls to drive fake news, to buttress a fake narrative so that Republicans draw a fake conclusion. That's all it is. I mean, a lot of the legacy media in the United States now is committed to driving a narrative to influence an outcome. So they show fake
programs like the Cook Report and 538 as well you put them in that same category?
Sure, because they're doing is assessing races based on fake polling information. Look, these are the same polls that everybody in America, that it was in the political business, predicted that Clinton would win, 538, the whole bunch of them, right? Except me, right? Because I don't have fake polls. I have real callers from all over the country going to work, blue-collar workers, which is my listening base, who call into my show and tell me what's on their mind, driving the punch of clock. That's what I have. I don't have fake polls. So is it the same people that mispredicted 2016, except us? We said for months Trump would win, and he did. They were all wrong. And now you think, well, why don't they go back and change their polling metrics or their polling methodology? Well, if they wanted to be accurate, they would do that. They don't want to be accurate. What they want to do is send a message to Republicans that, look, you're losing, you can't win, it's a disaster. Don't volunteer, don't make phone calls, don't work on the weekend helping your Republican candidate. Don't do any of that. Stay home, watch football, have a beer, because you're going to lose. It's a waste of time. That's the fake polls driving the fake narrative to get a fake conclusion.
John, if I can ask a slightly different question, what do you feel is at stake in these midterm elections?
Three things. The continuation of Donald Trump's America First policy agenda. And Donald Trump has reshaped the decrepit, corrupt Republican Party, who sold out to big donors on Wall Street and the gangster banksters in the United States in lower Manhattan. He has reshaped the party to be the party of the American worker. And a lot of Republicans have come kicking and screaming with that because it's not what they're accustomed to. And he's done this through tariffs and renegotiating these disastrous trade deals to get our manufacturing back. So a Democratic takeover stops that. It stops the entire Trump agenda. And you're going to get open borders, open borders, which means more illegals come in, just like you're seeing now with the caravan. The Democrats will do nothing to stop that. And the Republican big donors are going to sit idly by as well. Why? Because, look, James, this is the unholy alliance that has gone on in the United States for four decades. Democrats let illegals come in by making laws that make it impossible for them to get deported and kept out. And Republican big donors and big money interests on Wall Street, they want the illegals to come in so they can get cheap labor and drive down wages. So the unholy alliance is Democrats want cheap votes. Republican big donors on Wall Street want cheap labor. And that's the unholy alliance. And that's why, unlike Australia, who has a very strict job-based system, we have an open border situation, and that's what's going on. So if the Democrats win, that will continue. The tax cut plan of the president will get rolled back. They'll start impeachment immediately. It doesn't matter if he puts strawberry jelly on a peanut butter sandwich. They'd be, oh, there it is. Impeach him. Doesn't matter what it is. They drive donor money off impeachment. So everything will stop, and the country and this tremendous economic resurgence that we have in jobs, in economic growth, in GDP, in consumer confidence, in stocks, in savings, everything is up. It all stops.
And what about the feeling in the country? Because I felt that this was really interestingly embodied in the Senate primary, the battle between Nick Freitas and Corey Stewart. What do you think that represents in terms of the tensions in the Republican Party today?
Well, to use Virginia as some kind of a barometer, James, for the Republican Party national is really a false comparison. I mean, Virginia is an anomaly. The Republicans have lost something like 12 consecutive statewide races. And Corey Stewart doesn't exactly represent the values of a lot of Republicans in this state. So he's going to lose big.
And where does he differ, do you think?
I don't think people are interested in talking about Confederate flags, Confederate statues, and hanging around with people in Charlottesville that were having rallies. We're interested in
some
jobs.
Of the alt-right groups that he's been associated with.
Exactly. And so I have no interest. I don't really cover the campaign. And so I have no interest.
So, I mean, that's why do you think he won then? If he doesn't represent those values?
Name ID. I mean, Corey Stewart is a perennial candidate. He ran for lieutenant governor in 2013 statewide. He ran for governor, for the nomination for governor in 2017. He almost won. Then he turned around. He ran for U.S. Senate. He's been on the ballot. People heard of him. And, you know, there's some people that are just mad at everything that's going on. But look, Nick Freitas came from nowhere. Nobody heard of him. He had no money. And he was basically an totally obscure state representative from the middle of the state. He had no base at all, and he almost won. But Corey Stewart does not represent the future of the Republican Party in Virginia or anywhere else. He's the past.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because that future, do you feel that there needs to be, is there scope within America First for a message which feels more inclusive to minority groups?
I don't know what could be more inclusive to a minority group than a great job, a better education, and a better future than they have today. So I think Trump's America First policies agenda message is completely inclusive to any minority or any American because, James, here's the bottom line. A job is not red and it's not blue. It's green. When you have a good job and you feel secure in your job and you can bring money in to put food on the table and support your family and buy your son baseball shoes or your daughter a new dress for a dance or take them to a movie on a Saturday night, that's what you're for. Doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat or this or that. That's driving Trump's popularity. It's jobs, it's economic prosperity, it's economic growth, and it's being positive about what the future holds.
Because many see that as, you know, many see some of the things talking about the caravan, for example, as fear-based.
As what, James?
Well, a lot of his opponents say, like, look at the tweets on the caravan, for example, as appealing to fear rather than positivity.
Well, when 10,000 illegal migrants are coming to invade your country, how are you supposed to react? You're supposed to be excited about that? I mean, first of all, we're a country of laws. The laws are getting flaunted. We have an open border situation. And so when 10,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 illegal aliens come in, statistics show that 99% of them, because of our stupid laws that the Democrats have been in favor of, 99% of them end up staying in the United States. Now, if you come in illegally and you stay in the U.S., here's what happens. You end up in school. So you take resources. That's number one. The second thing that happens is you're a low-skilled worker. Therefore, you drive down wages. So you're not getting $15 an hour like you should in the United States, like companies should pay. Wages start dropping because you flooded the market with excess cheap labor. So wages go down, pay goes down. And then if you've got two people competing for a job and one will take $7 an hour, $7.25, and the other one wants $12, who gets the job? The one that wants $7.25, and that's the illegal. So this is not a positive. And what the president has said is
some of the farmers that I met and spoke to and some of their workers as well, they spoke very happily, and some of these Virginia farmers were saying, look, we simply would not be able to operate without Hispanics, so, you know, many of whom had come initially illegally and might have been able to find a way to obtain a visa following, but who had come initially. And there was certainly a strong understanding on the Republican side amongst a number of the voters and people that I spoke to of the value, of the importance of having migrant workers who were prepared to do jobs that they said they simply could not get Americans to do.
Then do it legally, James. Then go through our visa application process and do it legally. Mm-hmm. And then once you're legal, guess what? You got to pay taxes. You're part of the U.S. job system. And then you have to go back when your visa expires. Let me ask you something, James. If a caravan of ships right now from Guatemala were sailing into Sydney, Australia, 10,000 of them, and they just want jobs. And who knows who's in the caravan, James? Some of them could be terrorists. Who knows, right? Could be human traffickers embedded in there. No one knows. Could be anybody. But somebody funded them. And 50 ships land in Sydney, and they say, look, we just want asylum. But Australian farmers, you know, they're going to be happy because they can pay us $5 an hour and we'll do all their farming and clean their hotel rooms or whatever. And so what would the reaction be of the Australian government? Would they be like, sure, come on in. Hey, one for all for one. We got plenty of money here. Or would they send them back, James?
Oh, the current Australian government would most certainly do that, John. The debate over immigration in Australia has been a similarly fiercely raging one for many years, and a lot of it has focused on very similar issues to what play out in the US. Of course, our borders are, in the words of our national anthem, girt by sea, mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more of a hurdle, but certainly the issue of boat asylum seeking loads of people coming on boats down from South Asia, Southeast Asia, has been a major sticking point in Australian politics as well for quite a while. And I think it sort of it goes in many ways to sort of what my fascination, what the Australian people's fascination is with what happens in America, because everyone, the Western world over, the democratic world over, has always for so long looked to America as the light on the hill and setting the tone for so many of the debates which are not unique to America but which are important debates for democracies the world over, and hence the interest in what has changed and the influences which are shaping American politics today.
So in Australia, you've passed laws that basically accept legal immigrants on a skill and merit basis. For instance, if mm-hmm. Australia has a need for pipe fitters and there's pipe fitters in Somalia that apply to come to Australia, and the Australia government knows that if they let them in and they go through the proper legal Australian paperwork, that they're going to get a job as a pipe fitter and contribute to the Australian economy, they let them in. That makes a lot of sense. That's the kind of laws the U.S. needs. A merit-based, skill-based system where if we determine economically that we have a need for a certain skill or for a certain job, then regardless of where those immigrants might be from, they get to the top of the list. Because we're not saying we don't want immigrants or we don't want migrants or we don't want people coming into the United States. What President Trump is saying is we want them to come in and be able to get a job, come in legally, and be able to contribute to the betterment of society. Not come in, go on welfare, not have a skill, get a phone, get housing, get food stamps, and overwhelm a local school system. That doesn't make any sense, right? No country can have that. If you do that, you basically don't have a country. You have basically a mass of land, and eventually you go bankrupt. The United States has a $21 trillion debt. The policy of just open borders and letting anybody in because we happen to be really good people no longer makes any sense. Otherwise, James, no borders, you're not of a country.
And I can certainly understand, John, how that appeals to voters. I guess the interesting side of that is in trying to understand what that means in terms of, like, yeah, well, does that appeal to most voters? What do people think when they see those? What sort of sentiments and emotions does it evoke? Because even listening to the Democratic side of politics now, try to understand, okay, where did they go wrong? Where did they go so wrong in 2016 that they were entirely blind to the appeal of Donald Trump and his appeal to the working class? It's really interesting to try and understand which of those messages appeal. And I'm kind of interested as well to ask you if you feel that the Democratic Party has learned anything from 2016 in what you observe both in local races and at national level. What are they doing differently? Have they learned anything, do you think?
No. They learned nothing.
What makes you say that?
You just look at the policies that they've enacted. If you look at the national Democratic agenda right now, do you have any idea what they stand for or what they're attempting to do other than they hate Trump? Do you have any idea? Do they have a single policy? No, they're going to impeach Trump and roll back the biggest tax cut in history. And they're going to open up the borders and they're going to increase sanctuary cities. And a whole bunch of them want to get rid of the only law enforcement organization we have called ICE. That's the acronym. in order to remove illegals. So the Democratic policies are...
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. U.S. Attorney Scott Brady says federal prosecutors are seeking approval to pursue the death penalty against Pittsburgh synagogue shooting suspect Robert Bowers. Brady says he's begun the process to get Attorney General Jeff Sessions' approval as required by law. Brady says multiple search warrants have been issued in the investigation of Bowers, a long-haul trucker who worked as an independent contractor. Bowers is to appear for his first court hearing Monday afternoon. Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen says that the thousands of Central American migrants on a caravan moving through southern Mexico will not be welcomed in the United States. Nielsen says that the migrants on the caravan have broken laws along the way. She made her remarks earlier on Fox News Sunday. Microsoft plans to continue to provide its technology to the U.S. military. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Angel, asking you to invite your friends who speak Spanish to tune in to our Sunday Spanish programming here on WBOB. Sundays at 5 p.m., The Season with Jesus, right after the Spanish broadcasting of the Jaguars game. Every Sunday, there will be a different topic presented by our team of local Spanish-speaking pastors teaching God's Word to members of the Spanish-speaking community. So don't miss A Season with Jesus, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Attention all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There is no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic energy waves. Our FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue with short in-office sessions. And it's all done with virtually no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. That's 904-763-1400. 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit our website at alphamedicalgroup.com.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
She's the author of a new book, Rise, and you can go to her Facebook page, Brigitte Gabriel, and get that, or you've got actually many different options to get to Brigitte, and she's also part of the ACT organization, AAACT, and you can follow her on Twitter at ACT Brigitte, at ACT Brigitte. Brigitte Gabriel, great to have you with us.
Thank you, John. Delighted to be with you.
So, Brigitte, there's no one better experienced or versed in America than you on what is going on with this caravan. in people coming up through Mexico from Guatemala to get into the United States illegally, basically flaunting, thumbing their nose at our laws. Many people like me see this as an invasion. We don't know who makes up this 7,000 caravan elite. We know there's people that are there for economic needs. We also don't know what the bad actors that might be embedded in there. What should we do in this situation, Brigitte?
We should immediately deploy the military to our border and make sure not even of them get into the border, get into the United States. Look, we know that a part of the people in the caravan are members of Hezbollah, for example, Middle Easterners. We all are very aware that Hezbollah has major operation centers within South America to train people on how to come to the United States. Look, the word is out. Anybody who wants to come to America, all you have to do is make your way to Mexico, pay some money to the drug cartels, and you'll be smuggled into the United States. This has been going on for decades, and not one president before President Trump has basically put his foot down, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. I mean, this is happening under Bush. This was happening under Obama. This was happening under Clinton. It just got worse, especially under the Obama years. So we know right now that they are operatives within that caravan from people from the Middle East who are embedded within that caravan trying to get into the United States. There are many actors who are trying to get into the United States who are involved in the putting together in this caravan, including people from within the United States, from political party within the United States, basically creating this whole problem right before the election for a purpose. But the American public is not dumb. The American public is waking up, and the American public is behind a president who is committed to putting America first and is doing everything he can to ensure that America remains protected and safe. And you know what, John, in a way, this is good that this is happening before this very important election we're heading to, because what this is doing is it is uniting the conservatives and freedom-loving Americans who love this country, who are concerned about this country. And I'm not just talking about Republicans or conservatives. I'm talking about independents. I'm talking about decent people who are seeing this and thinking, okay, we can understand about helping some people who need help, you know, here and there, you know, maybe 100 here and 100 there. But caravan upon caravan, over 1,000, 7,000, this caravan is coming. You cannot control your country and allow open borders with this type of chaos coming into the country.
Brigitte, let's get to what you said earlier. I want to get to two things. The caravan coming over and the president saying, look, if Mexico, obviously, we just heard some clips from Vice President Pence and Secretary of State Pompeo. They're really banking on the Mexican authorities to stop them. In the event they don't, and I think it's 50-50 right now, whether they're going to be able to do that, if they get to the border and the president does deploy the military, as he said he would, whether it be National Guard or not, in closing the border, what is the risk that that becomes another PR disaster for Trump and the Republicans, like kids in cages when we went to the zero tolerance policy? How do we deal with that?
Look, it will just mobilize the base for Trump, those who care about the country. This whole PR nightmare, look, the left hates us anyway. The left hates Trump. The left does not want secure borders. The left wants open borders, bring everybody in here, give them homes, give them shelter, give them free this, free that. As a matter of fact, freebie for all, and let the rich pay for it. You know what? That is old. That's not going to fly with the American public anymore. They are the ones, the left fringe is the one that's making the noise, screaming and yelling. But if the last election, the presidential election in 2016, taught us one thing, is that the decent American people who care about America, the America which was envisioned by our founding fathers, want change. They really want secure borders. They want one language. They want a better economy. How can we have a better economy if we're going to have people like this coming into the country? When you introduced me, John, you mentioned my new book, Rise. I titled my book Rise because I wanted Americans to understand what's at stake. And I'm going to run a little bit of numbers with you about what illegal immigration is doing to the country. And I share these numbers in my book. guys, $11 billion to $22 billion a year is spent on welfare to illegal criminal aliens by state governments. $22 billion a year is spent on food assistance programs like food stamps, WIC, and free school lunches for illegal criminal aliens. $2.5 billion a year is spent on Medicare for illegal criminal aliens. $12 billion a year is spent on primary and secondary school education for children here illegally, and they still cannot even speak English, John. $17 billion a year is spent for education for the American-born children of illegal criminal aliens, also known as anchor babies. $3 million a day is spent to incarcerate illegal criminal aliens. 30% of all federal prison inmates are illegal criminal aliens. $90 billion a year is spent on illegal aliens for welfare and social services by the American taxpayers. $200 billion a year in suppressed American wages are caused by the illegal criminal aliens. In 2006, illegal criminal aliens send home $45 billion in remittances to their countries of origin. When you add all this cost up, this is a whopping $338.3 billion a year out of your pocket, my pocket, our children's pocket, and everyone listening to us right now. And I encourage everyone listening, if you want to understand more about the problem we are dealing with, go to your nearest book Barnes & Noble store and buy my book, Rise, Rise, in defense of Judeo-Christian values and freedom, because we are losing our country before our very eyes. Also, for more information on this stuff, people can go to our organization's website, actforamerica.org. Actforamerica.org. We named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not wish for America, not hope for America, not pray for America, but Act for America. Because you can do all that, but if you don't take any action, nothing happens. Act for America today is the largest national security grassroots organization in the country with 1 million members. We have 1 million members. We need you to join us. We have helped pass 100 bills on the federal level as well as the state level to protect America. We send updates about this caravan coming in and many other national security issues. I urge you to go to our website, actforamerica.org. Sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Check out our legislative briefings, our legislative contacts, and get involved. We need every American involved to make a difference for the country.
Brigitte, Gabriel, thank you for that. And remember, at Act for America, you can follow them on Twitter, at Act for America, and buy our book, Rise. Brigitte, thanks for being with us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Listen. We got 12 days to the midterms. You vote Republicans, you're voting for jobs, you're voting for economic prosperity. You're voting for a continuation of the America First policies led by Donald J. Trump. You vote for the Democrats, you're voting for mobs and caravans. That's it. And you want to turn the clock back on the tax cut and everything else. Now, what you're going to have to endure through the next 12 days are fake polls, because now we have a new system in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what fake news is. Now we have fake polls. We have fake polls to drive fake news, to draw a fake conclusion. Let me say it again. In the next 12 days, be very wary of what the legacy media is going to do. Here's what the legacy media is going to continue to do. The New York Times, CNN, the fake newsers. Fake polls driving fake news for a fake narrative, for a fake conclusion. It's all fake. And you're going to get the truth right here from your Godzilla of the truth in America, and that's me. When CNN puts a poll out showing Mayor Gillum in Florida up by 12 points over Ron DeSantis, and he's a socialist, that is absurdity beyond belief. That's not a real poll. None of these polls are real. Not one of them are real. They did this to you in 2016, and they're going to do it again. And these are not polls to disseminate legitimate information. These are polls to drive a result. So you're going to get from the legacy media fake news with fake polls to drive a fake narrative to get a fake conclusion. And here's what they want you to do. They're going to continue to tell you and lie to you with these polls that they take with fake metrics and false information. These are push polls to try to get a result. And here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a constant drumbeat for the next 12 days, just like they did in November 2016, saying there's a blue wave coming. The Democrats are going to win 100 seats. The generic numbers have widened to 15. All the Republicans are depressed. Don't bother to work. Don't hand out a flyer. Don't knock on doors. Don't make phone calls. Don't do anything. Because, look, the polling numbers show the Republicans are cooked. And so why waste your time? Go enjoy the weekend, see a football game, and have a beer. That's what they want you to do. They don't want you to work. They don't want you to get involved. They don't want you to be enthusiastic. So they're going to lie to you with fake polls, driving fake news to get a fake narrative. And at the end of the day, they want a fake conclusion drawn so they can get their own fake result. Polls by these legacy fake newsers are no longer to disseminate legitimate information and inform the public. They are done to drive a narrative to buttress whatever result they want. And so that's why I've been telling you for weeks, you just take one district, and that's the 10th in Virginia, just one. And I've been telling you for weeks, Barbara Comstock is either tied or ahead, and she's going to win that race. And now finally a poll comes out showing it tied. Finally. Some legit poll somewhere. All the other fake news polls showed her down by 15. And I knew for a fact that was not true. Same thing now. They're showing Spanberger ahead in the 7th. Fake. They're showing Colburn ahead of Riggleman in the 5th. Riggleman's going to win that race by double digits. They want to depress Republican turnout and depress their volunteers. And they do this by lying to you. Now, we are beyond fake news now. Now we have networks of the legacy media that won't even report certain news items if they think it's going to interfere with their narrative talking points of the day, which is to defeat Trump and the Republicans. And look, I know there's a lot of Republicans out there that drive you nuts and you don't want to vote for them, and they voted this way or they voted that way. They didn't do this or they didn't do that. Or there was some infight or a primary fight or a feud going on. You got 12 days. Here's my thing. Let's unite now. Let's keep the House Republican. Let's build the Republican majority in the U.S. Senate so President Trump can continue his phenomenal America First policies and keep this country moving ahead. Once we do that on November 7th, then we can fight again. Let's win now, fight later. Oh, I don't like this one because he beat Cantor. Okay, whatever. Go fight with Dave later. Oh, I don't like Scott Taylor because he beat Randy Forbes. I fight with him later. Oh, I don't like Barbara because she voted this way or that way. So I'm going to vote no. I'm going to vote for nobody, or I'm going to vote Libertarian, or I'm going to stay home. It's ridiculous. Right now, what Trump needs, if you're a Trump supporter, Trump needs a Republican majority, period. Doesn't matter who it is. He needs a Republican majority. You want to pick your petty fights, and we all have them. I get it. Do it later. There's a lot of people now I'm getting on my show that I have feuded with, and you know who they are. I'm not going to mention their names. And they come on now every single week. Why? Because we got to bring everybody together, get everybody on the same page for 12 days and win this election. Because we're working against hundreds of million dollars in swamp money, hundreds of millions of dollars from the Hollywood crazy left wingers, and the entire fake news legacy media network, which has aligned now behind the Democrats. And so that's what you're fighting. So fake news is out there. And I'm going to say it again. You're going to get fake polls, which is fake news, to drive a fake narrative to get a fake inclusion. And the end game is to get the result they want, which is Democrats to take power. So they can do what? Roll back the tax cut, impeach Trump, go further with investigations, investigate Kavanaugh, tie the country up. So that's my advice to you. Get involved. Do something. Go to taxcutswork.com. I don't care what you do. Remember how happy you were the night Trump won, those of you that are Trump fans out there? Remember how ecstatic you were that night? Now, I know the Never Trumpers hated it and the Clinton people and the Democrats listen to my show. I know it all drove you nuts. But for those that were believers like me in Trump, remember how happy you were? That all goes away November 6th at 2 a.m. if we lose, because we're not going to be able to do anything. And then it comes back to 2020 again. Now, we get a real opportunity to fix things in this country. And the Democrats don't want to talk about the economy. They don't want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about economic growth. They don't want to talk about business confidence. They don't want to talk about all the great things the president is doing. They don't want to talk about ISIS is on the run. They don't want to talk about the fact that North Korea hasn't shot off a missile in months. They don't want to talk about the fact that Trump has unilaterally renegotiated every bad trade deal. And we got all this money coming in from tariffs. They want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that he renegotiated NAFTA and Mexico caved and then Canada caved and saw it our way. We get better deals. He doesn't want to talk about the fact that the Chinese economy is tanking now as a result of his tariffs there. Getting the Chinese are in a trade war they can't win and Trump can't lose. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that he's deregulated the economy at a breathtaking pace. They don't want to talk about business confidence. Jobs are up for Asians. Jobs are up for Hispanics. Jobs are up for African Americans. Jobs are up for women. People are getting raises, and people can now leave jobs to get a better job. They don't want to talk about that either. They don't want to talk about the fact that under the Obama regime, everybody was scared to leave their job. They were scared. So even if they had a job they hated or they could do better somewhere else, they were afraid to leave. That's gone away. I mean, when you cut out the nonsense, oh, he sent a tweet you didn't like. Hey, whatever. You know, who cares? Come on, get over yourself. Oh, I don't like what he said about Stormy Daniels. Okay, whatever. I mean, really? You have children? You have grandchildren? You have a family? You have a job? I don't like the tweet that he sent out about this or that. I mean, get over your damn self. There is so much at stake here, and things are going so unbelievably well in this country, and Trumponomics is working. Now, it's easy for me because I'm a true believer. So I get it, and you're probably sitting there saying, it's easy for you to say because you actually believe in this stuff. And I do. I believe in the America First agenda. I believe in his policies. I'm a protectionist. I believe in tariffs. So for me, every day is like Christmas, candy and nuts. Every day I get up, it's like a better day than the day when I went to bed. Tariffs, I'm for that. Getting rid of TPP, NAFTA, I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. Getting rid of the ridiculous Korean trade agreement, we got ripped off on that. All gone. All in 19 months. Unbelievable what he's done. When did you think you'd see 4.5% GDP growth? And the number of new people entering the jobs market, it's incredible. New people who had given up hope now entering the job market. I mean, the results are stunning. When did you ever think you'd have a president send his national security director to Moscow and say, we're pulling out of the arms treaty because, like, you guys lied to us, so we're out. Thank you. Have a nice day. Well, what do you mean you're out? Here's the way it works. You do a treaty with Russia. Russia cheats. The U.S. doesn't. That's how it's always been. What do you mean you're pulling out? You can't do that. That upsets the world order, which is screw America. the legacy media world order is screw the United States and screw workers. That's it. Somebody called earlier and said, oh, we need E-Verify. Really? You're never going to get E-Verify. You're never going to get it. Who's going to stop it? Goldman Sachs. Gangster banksters. Wall Street. Lower Manhattan. It's about shareholder value. E-Verify would mean that wages would go up and you would have to pay people a livable wage. We can't have that. That'll drive down our stock price. And instead of getting a $900,000 bonus, it'll only be $750,000. Can't have that. I gotta buy a new yacht. This is what you're dealing with. This is why the stakes here are so high. All right, here's a tweet that the president just sent out. Let me read this in real time. Just moments ago, the president tweets out, for those who want to advocate for illegal immigration, just take a good look at what has happened to Europe over the last 5 years. A total mess. They only wish they had that decision to make over again. Now, I'm telling you, the president's hands are tied with this caravan. You can send anybody you want down there, or National Guard, military, it doesn't matter. They're going to push the women and the children to the front of the line, and they're going to cross the border. And what is the National Guard going to do? Put a bayonet at the end of the gun? They're not going to do anything. They're going to step aside and let the border agents arrest as many as they can, put them together, 20 days they get released. What the president has to do is get McConnell to get rid of the cloture rule after the midterms, and you got to fix the loopholes. Because it's the loopholes in the law and the Flores decision that are allowing these immigrants to come in because the U.S. government's powerless to do anything about it. And you're certainly not going to be separating children again like you were. That's a PR disaster before the midterm. So basically, they're going to come in. What the president should do is say, okay, in order to not have them come in, we have to get Republicans elected to the House and the Senate so we can change the law to stop it. Otherwise, you don't have a border. And you know what? In 12 days, you can make a decision on whether or not you want a country. And if you don't want a country, vote for Pelosi, vote for Schumer, vote for the Dems, and there'll be no borders and no country. There it is. That's your choice. If you would like a country, then keep the Republicans in the majority. And fight later. Infighting is what I mean. Not fight for to win, but infighting. Petty infighting. You know? This one's not going to give money to that one because they beat him in some primary. Knock it off. It's not about you, man. There's a lot more at stake here. And I'm leading by example by getting people on my show who I was at odds with over the Trump campaign. We're all made up now because it's bigger than me and it's bigger than you and it's bigger than them. There's a bigger picture. And I'm fired up today because I see it. I see it today just like I told you in 2016 when everybody was in a deep panic and they were all depressed. I kept telling you Trump is going to win. I went on CNN 3 times a week. And said at the end of every show, I got the final word in. I said, Trump's going to win. And they laugh, call me an idiot, and he won. And there is an undercurrent coming right now that the Democrats can't stop. It's mobs or jobs. It's caravans or a country. That's basically what the choice is. You want caravans or do you want a country? Do you want a mob or do you want a job? Caravan or country,